This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We are now beginning day number three for the Trix Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's going to be a jam-packed day again starting up here soon enough. And that's going to be at 11 o'clock. We're going to begin with John Graham lecture. And he had a short talk yesterday afternoon in the Insights session, which is actually kind of like a TEDx, kind of a short 10-minute thing or so, and I know he's going to have a lot to say, and if possible, I might even have a chance to sit down with him. Maybe we can actually do a podcast together if we have time, because, again, a full day, and as yesterday was a very full day, and I've got someone with me right now who spent a full night, actually, with Bernardo Sedlicek doing his workshop. Please welcome my friend and yours, Mark Pocan. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, Scott.
So glad to have you here this morning. So this, I understand also, first of all, is your first Trix convention.
Yeah, I'm usually a Magi Fest Magic Live guy with my schedule, but I saw the lineup, and honestly, when I saw Bernardo and Ruby were on the schedule, two of my favorite newer folks that I've kind of got to follow, I definitely had to come.
Yeah. I when you said with your schedule, I guess I should point out the fact that you are a congressman having elected again. You said the sixth term just now, right now, recently?
This is my seventh term.
Just finished going into your seventh term from Wisconsin area, the second congressional district there. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And so because of that, you don't get a chance to go to a lot of conventions. But you said also you've gone to Vanishing Inc's meetings before. I mean, they're what do you call that?
The retreats.
The retreats, yes.
Yeah, we just had the D.C. retreat, and that was a great experience. And you know, people like John McLaughlin, who you've had before on your program, and others. And it was Danny D'Ortiz and Michael Vincent were the main two magicians that were there. But then they had filled with all kinds of – I gave a night tour of the Capitol. We got a White House tour. We got a chance to get on the speaker's balcony at night. And, you know, all this kind of fun stuff. Got Library of Congress. I didn't realize they had 25,000 different magic artifacts.
That's amazing.
There. Yeah, so that's awesome. It was just a great experience. And but, you know, my two loves are magic and politics, and I'm doing them.
Yeah. And right now, as far as this convention and last night, you said that you came to see Ruby and Bernardo were the two that kind of enticed you to come to this. And they had kind of an intimate group last night with Bernardo. And that went on for how long?
About 3.5 hours, I think. Okay. And it was awesome. And he would have gone as long as we wanted. He was extremely generous with his time. But, you know, we didn't do that many magic tricks. It really was talking about putting a show together in theory. And, you know, I asked him to know a little more about his, you know, upbringing, because we're so used to really great people coming out of the Spanish school, you know, especially when it comes to cards. And yet he's Brazilian. And yes, he later got to, you know, train with Danny D'Ortiz and others. And that's part of who he is. But he's such a force of nature in and of himself. I think he's actually one of my absolute favorite card guys that is out there right now, and he's only 27 years old, which means we're going to be fortunate to have him around for a long time doing what he does.
Right, and he is so passionate for it and also for teaching, and he is such a deep thinker as well, and not just with the tricks he does, that every little nuance, he's thought through them.
Yeah, he's a very old soul when it comes to having the knowledge of what he's doing for magic, but he's also one of the most, I think, generous and sincere and authentic people, and it just really, he couldn't have been kinder to everyone who was there. And we had all people different levels and where we were coming from at it. He made sure everyone was included with everything, but answered any question, and was very, very, very personal insights too about how he does stuff. I'm just so glad I got a chance to do it. That alone was worth the convention.
I was about to say, aside from that, what else have you enjoyed? I mean, we've had a full day yesterday and, of course, a great kickoff on Thursday. So what have you seen that has stood out in your mind thinking, I'm so glad I came? Well, aside from Bernardo.
Yeah, I mean, there are a whole bunch. I mean, if I'm looking at it here, I mean, I enjoyed Paul Gertner. I mean, is this the best, period, right? I mean, just watching, talk about the ultimate pro, and and just to be able to benefit from his thinking was really amazing. I enjoyed David Parr quite a bit. Like, his effects were very commercial and very good in how he presented his thinking around.
Plain, straightforward, commercial, and they were very good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's Pippo or Pippo.
Pippo. Or, actually, Pippo, I guess, was P-I-P-P-O.
Pippo. Yeah. I mean.
From Madrid.
What a performer, and also what a lecturer, but what a performer. I mean, I really enjoyed that in the show. We just, it's a great mix of high level talent with a small convention feel. Mm-hmm. So you really are getting something that, you know, Magic Live is very good and unique for what it is to have such a big event and have such a big dealer room. But here, it's a different kind of intimate experience with some people. And when you find a couple people like, you know, Bernardo and Ruby, who I just am really fascinated by, want to learn more, and then you get that in a small environment, it makes it such a very unique experience.
Well, you hit on that, I think, the point that this is a much smaller convention, not just in size, but also that the name itself, the Tri-C's, the Trix means the Carolina Close-Up Convention. It is focused on close-up, which is different, let's say, than Magic Live, which is kind of the whole gamut of a lot of illusions, obviously, this evening shows, and the dealers will be selling, I mean, like Mike Michaels is selling like an appearing helicopter in the dealer's room. I mean, we don't have that here, you know. We've got Roy Cooper selling coins, you know.
Well, what I loved was, and I don't know the gentleman's name, selling some of the Svengali decks, but all around reverse Svengali decks with a half mnemonica stack. You don't pick that up, at most magic shops, right? So the fact that you can get some really unique items by some of the folks who do some of the best close-up, and then Don was here with all of his books, which, as someone who's got a book issue, is great to see that.
Did you buy some books already?
Not yet. I was kind of trying to be good.
Get your eye on it.
Yeah, though. I'm one of the people who likes to do it the last day, but also because I've got a decent-sized collection, I could fill in some, but I'm trying to be more specific, because I've kind of run out of space. I have a dark room at home, and that's not a very big, that was now my magic room. Then my library went into the laundry room, and now I'm extending into the hallway, and pretty soon I'm going to get in trouble.
Eventually it's kind of like, enough is enough. Yes. You know, you're just going to stay to that.
Well, no, I don't know if I could say that. But I do have to justify.
Well, it has been really a good convention. We still got a full day to go of a lot of stuff that's going to be happening here. And Ruby has not yet spoken. He's going to be coming in this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, lecture and performing
and
tonight.
And performing. And Shutagawa is coming in also.
Right? Yeah. No, it's a great lineup. And then people even just, walking around us. Some of these people I've met at other conventions that you're talking to. But watching some of the stuff that people are just doing, sessioning at night has been an awful lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to sleep Sunday.
Going back to Congress where you can go to sleep, right?
Yeah. Well, I have a one-day break, so I better get a lot of sleep in between. So.
Well, it sounds like that this you're enjoying your first time, meaning you're probably going to come back a second time.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the schedule permits. I mean, this was fortunate because it was right after the election, so normally we'd be in session in November on the odd years. So, and we don't get our calendar until Thanksgiving, so we'll see. I mean, Blackpool is on my bucket list too someday, but this one, I'd met Scott Robertson at Rick and Susan's 25th anniversary of their theater, and when he talked about it, and then he mentioned the talent, I had to make it work.
Yeah. And what about FISM? You think about ever going to FISM some year?
I would like to. That one just gets even tougher, I think, because of schedule and when they do it. So I've got certain periods where I know that I might be free, but we're 3 of the 4 weeks generally. I'm out in Washington, so it just, you don't know what 3 of the 4, which makes planning a little difficult.
Yeah, it would certainly. Well, Blackpool's a lot of fun. I'm planning on going this year.
And I saw Ben Seidman, who I think is one of my favorites. He's from my home state of Wisconsin.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's from Milwaukee area. I saw he's performing and a bunch of others that looked really good. So when I get my calendar in November, it may be too late to get there, but I'm gonna just consider.
Possibility.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Mark, and I'm glad you're enjoying this convention. There's a lot more to see here today. This is going to be an exciting day.
Yeah,
to wrap up.
And a great show tonight.
And a great show tonight. So with the Magic Word Podcast, Magic Word Pocan, how about that? Magic Word Podcast. That was Mark Pocan. Scotty out. So we are down in the lobby and they're getting ready to open the door here soon at 11 o'clock. We'll be having our first lecture that will be coming up with, who is it we're going to be seeing, I said? Let's see, John Graham, that's right. And I've got someone who is a friend of mine who was at Furman University.
Furman
University. Yeah.
I'm in my 51st year
of teaching theater there. My good buddy that I don't ever see anymore is Rhett Bryson. Hey there, Rhett.
Hi there, Scott.
And so I remember also you had like a little, like a mechanical automaton that you wind that you had.
I'm proud of this.
Yeah.
I collect magic automata that are hand-built, wooden, hand-cranked, that do a magic trick.
Yeah.
And I'm bragging now when I say I may have the world's largest collection of those with about 80 of them.
80?
About 80.
That's probably
the most. I don't think anybody has that many. And I find people and I commission them to build them.
Because you have one for yourself. I mean, it looks like you doing
it. Oh, I have one of me. Yeah, that was the first one I got.
Yeah.
I had a fellow in England make one that is me producing four different things under a hat with my dog watching with his tail wagging.
Right.
They're just marvelous mechanical inventions.
Yeah.
And since then, I've just grown. That was 30 years ago when I got that, and so I've been collecting that long.
And so you've been teaching for 51 years now.
Yep.
I thought you were going to retire by now.
No, I love doing it. It's a lot of fun. I'm challenged by the students.
Keeps
and the
young.
Theater, like magic, challenges us with the new thing each time.
Yeah.
You've got to figure it out, figure out how to incorporate it into who you are, your performing persona. And that the theater challenges me like magic does. So they're hand in hand.
And it's not just the staging, but also everything as far as the building, the flats, the props, and everything.
Scenery, lights, costumes, promotion,
that's all part of what you
sound.
Do.
Yeah.
So is that, are you the chief cook and bottle washer of the whole department?
No, I don't want to ever be in charge of it all.
Or anything.
But actually, when you direct a show, and I do one show a year as a director, you kind of are in charge of the whole process. But it's a collaborative art.
Yeah.
That is also similar in some ways to how magic works for us.
Sure.
That we collaborate with other inventors and idea people. That's always fascinated me about how smart the people are in magic.
Right. Well, what have you enjoyed about this convention? I haven't seen you at this one. Do you come here very often?
No,
this trick?
I don't get out as much as I did. I'm 81 years old now, Scott, I don't travel as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But I decided to come because a bunch of us were coming from Greenville, South Carolina up here.
Yeah.
I wanted to just come with my buddies.
Sure.
And Peepo is just amazing for me as a theater person to see his character, his persona, his theatrical energy.
Yes.
I loved his work.
Yeah. Scott Robinson has done something a little bit different this year where he has reached out and got a lot more international acts.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, it's a world-infused activity for sure.
It's interesting about the kinds of magic that other countries do or magicians in other countries do, which is different than the incestuous inbreeding kind of magic that Americans do. That's why we need to see and get this infusion.
No, it stimulates. It stimulates invention.
Yeah, it does. And you're still learning new magic, still doing some stuff? Or
I collect things. I've got books. I've got tricks. I like the old magic.
Yeah.
Some of the things I perform still for fellow magicians and students and people and colleagues, friends, are the real old tricks that I bought in Al Cohen's magic shop.
Right.
40 years ago, and I was showing some last night, and current magicians never saw those things.
Sure.
Al Cohen had a hypnotized pencil that I'd use, and people have never seen that.
Wow.
So I like having the old things. An old guy can have the old things and have fun with them.
Right. Well, I recall also that you had a website, the Whispering Imps. Are you still keeping that up?
I do. I've got over 230-something... promotional posters of imps on magician shoulders.
And so if people want to go and take a look at that?
Just document them, yeah. Just look up Rhett Bryson Whispering Imps. I can't tell you off the top of my head the URL.
It's worth going to take a look at. It's got some really cool things over there. And if you know of any posters that are not there, you can send them to...
Sure. Yeah, there's a link on that page.
Yeah.
And people do send me... finds.
Some JPEGs and stuff.
Sure.
Well, it looks like they're opening the doors and letting us in over here, so we get ready for
it's
the
nice to
lecture.
Talk to you, Scott.
Rhett, always a pleasure. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Rhett Bryson. Scotty out. We just finished a great lecture by John Graham, and I heard him at Magi Fest. Actually, he was with Aussie Wynn earlier this year, and it was a fantastic lecture that Aussie, the two of them, had given. And I ended up, that was one of the few books I bought this year, which was Between Friends, but he was also selling Stage by Stage. I didn't get that at the time, and it's a recommended book. But I was in line, in fact, to look to buy some stuff then from John afterwards. And standing in line then with me was my friend Jeff Lefton from St. Louis, and I did an episode with him a while back that was talking about having your own venue to perform for elementary school kids and preschool kids and everybody, and here he is now. Hey, Jeff Lefton.
Yeah, nice to see you, Scott.
Good seeing you. And you said this was your first one because you had heard the podcast.
Yeah, last year I heard you from this, and it sounded like a lot of fun, so I decided to check it out.
Yeah.
And glad I did. It's a great convention.
Did you fly over, drive over? Or?
I flew. I came a night before to Hilton Head because I wanted to see Cary Pollock's show at his theater, which was really funny.
And? How was it?
Oh, my. He is one of the funniest magicians, the best shows I've ever seen. I highly recommend him if people haven't seen him.
I didn't know whether it was him because sometimes he's out and he has other people kind of come and fill in. But it was, you saw Cary, great. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. He did 2.5 hours, and he said that he has like 3 or 4 different shows of that length. I'm amazed how much material he's got.
Wait, 2.5 hours. So he took a break or two in between? Or?
No, there was no break. He just went straight through.
Wait, were you sitting in the showroom, or was it a close-up and he's walking around? What do you mean, 2.5 hours? That would sound like, I mean, I don't sit in movies that long. It's like,
yeah, but wow, it didn't drag.
No, I'm sure it didn't. Yeah. Cary's a funny guy. And a lot of audience participation and everything over there. So, yeah, Hilton Head's not that far. So you flew into Hilton Head, drove over then, or?
I flew to Hilton Head, and then I flew from there to Charlotte.
Oh, to Charlotte then, okay. Yeah.
So wasn't bad at all.
Nope, not bad. And weather's nice then as well. So what have you enjoyed about this convention so far? Here we are kind of in the middle of the third and final day.
Well, I read Stage by Stage a year or two ago, and I'd never seen John Graham at a convention, and so he was a big draw for me.
Yeah.
And he's magnificent. What a great performer.
And thinker.
Yes. Yeah. And I like the insight session they did with like 5 or 6 different presenters doing like 15-minute TED Talks each on different topics. That was very good.
Yeah. It's kind of like Magic Live that they have some individual talks, you know, like that. But, I do like this, too. It's like just in and out. Just quickly give 10 or 12 minutes and try to get as many and as varied conversations in there, or topics, I guess, that they discuss. It was good.
Yeah, and I enjoyed David Parr a lot. I've saw his lecture before, but it's good to see it again. Mm-hmm. And Paul Gertner was amazing.
How about Bernardo?
Yeah.
Sedlicek.
he was quite impressive.
And more today, we've got with Ruby coming, and then Shutagawa. It's just more to come.
Yeah, and I like that it's a good combination of they've got the finger flicking stuff, but there's also a lot that's not like that if you don't do all that fancy stuff.
Who was the guy yesterday? No, I knew who it was. It was Robinson, who was a newcomer, and he was doing some coin work, I believe, in which was like, that's really just demonstration. I'm not going to do that. That's too much for me.
Yeah, he is a young guy that was really, really good, yes.
Which is one of the things I really like about this convention as well, is because of the average age is younger than most conventions here, it seems.
Yeah.
Many young people.
And I think they've got a nice dealer's room, too. Yeah. I like that they have a number of individual creators here. Kyle Purnell, Jeff Price, Brent Braun. So it's fun to talk to them and see their tricks.
Yeah. So you're going to come back again next year?
I hope so, yeah.
I've convinced you. I've hooked you. Good, I'm glad.
unless you tell me about new ones on your podcast that I want to get to, too. But, yes, I hope to.
Well, this was my last one for the year, and I think we're kind of running out of conventions here as we kind of wind things down. There aren't any I know of in December, but there are a few more here in November that are coming. But
Yeah. Well, I heard your reports from Blackpool last year, so I'm hoping to get to that one this year, so we'll see.
I'm planning on doing that myself. I'm going to be going a little bit early so I can go to Liverpool and get, take the Beatles tour beforehand.
Oh, wonderful.
And then afterwards go to the Magic Circle and then see a few plays in London, but in between to go to Blackpool. It is awesome. I mean, it is huge. Yeah, it is. It's massive, and you can't see everything, but it is. It's like jumping into the ocean as opposed to jumping into a pool.
Yeah, you know? Wow. Yeah.
But if you get a chance, yeah, you should. It's a lot of fun. So, I appreciate it. Good to see you as always.
Yeah.
How's your place going, by the way? What was the gentleman's name I was
Dan Davis with Abracadabra.
Mm-hmm.
Going good.
Both of you guys still doing that?
Busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still going. Uh-huh.
Now, we recommend that you go back and listen to that particular podcast, because if you are interested in creating a venue for young people where you don't need to keep going out and doing birthday parties at people's homes, you create a place and have people come in and you host their birthday parties. It was a great idea. It is a great idea. And what's the name of the place again?
Abracadabra in St. Louis. And if I can talk to anybody to help them with it, just let me know.
And how will they get in touch with you?
Jeff@leftoncomedymagician.com.
There you go. And he's just reach out, and he can help you if you're thinking about opening a venue or something like that, too. Great. Jeff, good seeing you again. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jeff Lefton. Scotty out. We just finished a couple lectures, one with, Slidini, actually, with Rocco, who had studied under Slidini, and then with Ruby from, Ruby is from Spain, is that right? Oh, anyhow, I've got with me Terry Ward right now, who I spoke with last year. You might remember the episode we did with him, and he's from Orlando, so... He's not performing this year, and that's one of the cool things is a lot of times at conventions you see people who are here who are performing, but then you don't see them again unless they are performing. But here, I mean, we've got a lot of guys. I mean, like Jeff Williams had performed, and he's here, and Boris Wild, and so many others, and again, Terry Ward. So, hi, Terry. Good to see you again here.
Good to see you, too.
I loved your lecture last year. Was it last year? Was it last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Boy, time flies.
Yes, it does. It goes way too fast.
And your performance and everything, it's just been was outstanding.
Thank
so
you.
What are you thinking about this convention? What are you
completely
liking here?
Enjoying it. That John Graham, just love
the
way
right.
he
thinks.
That's
right, I forgot about John lecturing. Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm definitely doing some of his stuff.
Oh my gosh, it's just so clean and so open and well thought through. Totally enjoying it.
Just for an example, one quick thing was Torn restored a newspaper, and then he hands out the newspaper.
Yeah, and then he did
brilliant
the
thinking.
Lasso...
Yeah.
Card, and he handed out the,
rope.
I was totally flabbergasted
yes.
by that.
Yeah. When he did that in the show last evening, I thought, everybody, I think, was looking at each other like, what?
Exactly.
You can't do that. And, it was just great. And then he lectured on that, and that's in his book, Stage by Stage, which
yes.
he was selling there today. And so it's just been, overall, I think, a great convention. Scott Robinson had booked a lot of people from overseas for this convention, so which was what made this one kind of unique as opposed to people in the U.S. and then maybe one person from out of the country. Here, it was a preponderance of people from overseas.
Yeah, I also enjoyed the gentleman from yesterday.
Pippo.
Mm-hmm. He was really good.
Yes.
He was doing some stuff I just hadn't seen before. Beautiful coin work.
Had you seen Ruby before?
I have not,
okay.
although I did buy his effect, so mm-hmm. I've seen him on video.
Okay.
Because I had an idea with it.
Did you order that online?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder because when we were in Quebec, I saw him perform, and he was selling that up there then, too. So he's had it for a little while, but it's just, it is great. Without going into detail about what the thing is.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal idea.
Yeah, it really is. Just the camaraderie, I like the close-up nature of everybody who's here and having
yes.
time to talk with each other, you know?
Yeah, that's nice about this convention. You've got a lot of free time, you know, lunch mm-hmm. and dinner, and then everything doesn't really get going right away.
Right.
You've got time in the morning to chit-chat and speak with people. So it's a nice convention. That's why I came back.
And have you bought anything or been in the dealer's room or anything from the lectures?
I bought something from David Parr.
David Parr, that's
yes.
right. Oh, that's right.
I love that piece that he did with the cards.
The cards.
the interactions and the reactions to magic.
Yes.
I thought that was clever.
The theatric reactions, yeah. Ooh, ah, or wow, or whatever kind of a
thing.
Yeah, that was...
Gasps. Yeah. You know, it was really very quite clever.
Do you plan to use that particular thing as an opener or a middle?
That would probably be something that I would probably use in the middle.
Okay.
Something in the middle as sort of a test or something.
Okay.
And then to have a magical finish to it.
Not to be too coy about this, but the idea basically is, you want to explain the effect?
Yeah, you've got these cards that have different reactions the way you would react to magic, and you ask the person how... Which one of those would be the way you react today? And they say, well, I would be the ooh.
Yeah.
And so you pull the ooh out, and then you show that all the other ones on the back say, not this one.
Not this one.
Not this
yeah,
one.
Not
but
this.
Not
yeah.
this. But then the one that they chose says this.
Right.
And I thought it was very clever. Very clever.
Yeah. It was clever. It was a really good idea and a lot of fun and something that was within the ability of everyone.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And I think I'm guessing he sold out on that. And it was reasonably priced, $20.
All of his stuff was reasonably priced.
Yeah, yeah. And I was surprised also the effect over there that Ruby is selling. He only had a limited number of them. I thought for $65, that sounds like a bargain.
Well, you know? And just the fact that him and the other gentleman, Pipo, because of what's going on in Spain all of the
flooding,
that they're giving their money back.
Right.
Which is, you know, just says something about where they come from and how the community that they live in.
It is really, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? You know, just heartwarming, I guess,
yes,
is what I'm trying to say.
Very much so.
From the standpoint that they are trying to give back to their community that has lost so much.
Yes.
It's a good point. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time. Everyone else seems to be enjoying this as
well. Oh, I'm having a blast.
Well. And then they got a special deal right now that you get $25 off. For the early bird special.
Yes.
You coming
for
next year?
I'm
never
thinking
know what
about
you're
it.
Do.
I'm thinking about it because it's always so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope to make it back myself, in fact. So.
Good.
It's the Magic Word Podcast. That was Terry Ward. Scotty out. As we talked about earlier, there are so many different performers from overseas, and one of the people who is not only a performer, was a lecturer, and also did the workshop last night we've talked about quite a bit, and I finally got a chance to pull him over to the side because he's been an in-demand person, and that's the man, Bernardo Sedlicek. Hey there, Bernardo. How are you?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. So I see you more over here. Well, I start to say more than you're more in the U.S. than you are in Brazil, it seems like, you know. You know,
I do travel a lot, but...
Yes, you do. You spend a lot of time in Spain also?
Well, I go every year, at least once a year, sometimes a little more. But yeah, it's just to see the friends and maybe do a lecture or two or a couple shows, but that's it.
Okay.
Enjoying life.
So when you are in Spain, you're saying you're performing and doing shows then over there?
I'm performing, doing shows.
How do you get booked in Spain? I mean, you have an agent over there or just friends saying, hey, I know so needs somebody?
Essentially.
Okay. In those cases, you walk around or do you do a stand-up or do you do...
I usually do the session style, which is a table. I am seated behind the table and there's people around seated in chairs like in a semicircle situation, which for me is my favorite kind of style.
For a group of like what, 40 people or so?
Something
small,
like this.
Kind of an intimate type of thing.
Yes.
And then in that case you say, okay, let's rotate, and then you get some other people who come in. I mean, like during a party kind of a thing or corporate gatherings? Or
I would guess it depends. Sometimes it rotates, but most of the times it's just... It's just the same people, and then the magician rotates. So he would go to another place.
Oh, I see. So you work with other magicians.
Yeah.
You know, then too. Is it in Madrid, or are there certain places that you work more frequently when you do get to Spain? Or?
Last time I performed there was in Madrid, and I did a lecture at SEI, which is the Sociedad Española de Ilusionismo, like the Spanish Society of Illusionism.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a bigger place with... kind of balconies, like how do you say that?
Okay.
I don't know how to say it, but
terraces,
sure.
Balconies, okay.
I would agree with whatever you say because I don't know.
okay. And working here, have you? I know you've worked at Magic Castle, I guess, from time to time.
Yeah.
When you have done that, I know they sometimes will have like an all Spanish, week or something. Have you worked with other guys or is it just kind of a group?
No, usually it's just technically myself, but of course everyone booked, so we are booked separately.
Mm-hmm. Always close-up room?
Yes, always mm-hmm. close-up room. I'm trying to go to the parlor because I think it fits more than my style.
That's what I was going to say. I think you could do some good parlor. You
know. I think the close-up is like too small for me, mm-hmm. but I enjoy it the same way, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. So when you do workshops and you have your workshop on DVD, is it, or is it just like a...
I have a masterclass, which is like 10 hours long. Mm-hmm. And I talk about psychology, the theories behind the magic, philosophy, structure, the emotions. I show some effects as well. So essentially this. It's like 10 hours long, and that's it.
Well, you and I sat down and did an episode a long time ago when you came to stay at the house. Yeah, and all that. But how is it, I haven't asked you this question, about how did you develop such an old soul and being so young? I mean, you have such years of wisdom. But I mean, you're 27 now. When I talked to you before, I think for the episode, it was like you were probably 23 or 4,
Yeah, I think I was 23 at the time, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where does your experience come from? The heart, I guess, obviously.
Well, I try to perform as much as I can, but also I am very lucky the fact that I have amazing friends and I get to learn and spend
good
time
teachers.
With all of them.
Yeah.
So, for example, here at Trix, there is like a lot of amazing people, and I'm hanging out with all of them eventually, and I always learn a thing or two there and there.
Yeah.
And over the years, I think that count a lot, right? When we go to Forex, for example,
right.
or I was just in China with Christian Engblu and Lauren Pichon and Shoot as well, Shoot Ogawa.
Yes.
So like a lot of great magicians, and I'm very, very lucky that I'm usually around them.
Well, when I was talking to Scott Robinson, he said the Shoot was over there working with you and some other guys. Was this part of a tour or?
No, that was actually a festival.
I see.
Called the Shanghai International Magic Festival. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of shows, and also they have lectures in there. So I performed 9 shows and a lecture in a week.
I was just talking with someone recently who had told me that one of the reasons that they were here is because they wanted to see you and Ruby. You were the two guys who were like, I heard they were going to be here, and for them both to be here at the same place, the same time. And you guys, I know, have been friends for a while then, too.
Yeah,
and Ruby's
yeah.
another young guy that's got all these creative and amazing ideas and things.
Ruby's amazing, and the guy who told you this is probably too kind. Ruby's so good.
Yeah.
And he just did a lecture, and it was fantastic. She showed many very interesting ideas and very simple at the same time.
Yeah.
But like so different, and he talked about the style and the things that he studied in order to make that work. So
yeah,
I think it was a great lecture. Yes.
It was a very good lecture, very enjoyable. Were you enjoying your time here?
Oh yes, very much. I think this is probably one of my favorite conventions.
You're gonna try and come back again, even though
you're
not performing?
I have to eventually. I would try. It's a little hard for me because I still live
of
in
course.
Brazil, but
of course. Get
but
here when
I'll,
you can.
I'll try to get booked on something right before Trix,
yeah.
and then I would just pop by.
Well, I hope you do. Hope to see you back here. Then again, I'm sure I'll see you around at other places too.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Scott. It's
so, the Magic Word Podcast. So that was Bernardo Sedlicek. Scotty out. I mentioned earlier there are so many people, like we had just talked with Terry Ward and others, who have been here in the past but keep coming back because, hey, it's a great convention, and even the performers want to come back and watch other performers. And we were just talking about some of the people who are lecturing here today, and I was talking with my friend and yours, Boris Wild. Hey, Boris.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic. And you were another one who was a featured performer here, and you decided almost to make this home, at least to take a little home with you when you met Tiffany and got married.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's where I met Tiffany in 2017. And of course, the convention has been, a special convention, special event dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And I was lucky just, to lecture, perform here, come back, MC, do insights and stuff. And this year, I decided just to come to enjoy it.
And are you?
It's probably one of the first, if not the first conventions in years where I'm just attending. I don't have like to judge. I don't have to do a lecture or a talk or
sell anything or do anything.
Selling or performing. Yeah. I'm like, there are so many things you can do at a convention. And this year I said, no, I'm just coming to see my friends. I want to enjoy it. And the lineup this year is amazing. And I want to fully enjoy it.
Well, that was what we were just talking about, is how many people were lecturing today. I mean, it's back-to-back lectures. We'll go ahead and talk about some of the people.
Yeah, like just for today, we got John Graham in the morning. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I've never seen him live, but I've watched so many times his videos, and I, of course, I read his work and everything, and then seeing him here at the convention, I was like, oh my God, he's a real pro. He's working for lay people, and he knows exactly what it takes to perform for lay people. I just loved it. Then we got Rocco. I mean, I've been knowing Rocco for years. When he came to Paris, I went to see him, the Crazy Horse, and yeah, and Rocco is, for me, the definition of a magician. He is the magician. I mean, it's, you know, he produces like candy when you're hungry. It gives you money, a razor if you need to, because you have to be to shave your beard or whatever. I mean, it's just, and we love Rocco. He's just such an amazing character. We got Ruby also. And
where's Ruby from? Do you know?
He's from, from Spain.
He's from Spain. Yeah, I didn't know.
From
exactly.
Spain, and yes, and he has some this unique, original style. And he is kind of, I would say,
quirky.
But it's kind of new to the magic scene. But it's been very popular recently. And I saw him a few times. But lecturing today, it was great because, again, thinking out of the box and some really cool, very visual things. Mm-hmm. And now we're about to see Shudogawa. I mean, come on, we go to a convention, you see John Graham, Rocco, Ruby, and Shudogawa in the same day, before the show at night.
Right.
I'm like, what a lineup. So
that's right.
That's a lot to learn from the best.
And this is all just on one day, on Saturday, as you just said. Yesterday, we, again, had a great day yesterday. Yeah. And then even the night before, starting off with Ed Ellis, I mean, we had lectures then on Thursday night, and then a full day yesterday of stuff with Paul Gertner and others. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely, yes. And we go see a part of Paul's show. At the show last night, I was happy to see Tiffany also because she was the MC of the show and she did such a great job.
She did a great job.
That was great. I was here to, of course, I was here also to support her, and it's also one of the reasons I was here. But not only, but yeah, that was really good. And yes, and of course, Paul is always, you know, Paul's always amazing.
He's professional.
Yeah, that's why he's the guest of honor this year, because it's Mr. Gertner, of course. And so,
I think it would be hard to find, hard to determine who's going to be the guest of honor, because everyone we just talked about are all equal from the standpoint of they are well-respected, been around for a while, and do amazing magic. And it's like they could have spent a lot of time, you know, as a guest of honor too, but Paul was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Paul was a natural choice, obviously, mm-hmm. because he is, and that's his lecture also, talking about his experience on Fulas was amazing. Mm-hmm. I think this is the third time I see it. FISM and Fectors and here. And every single time, I'm like, oh, damn it, I didn't realize that. I mean, that's a little subtlety and a little extra thing. And he thinks of every little details, and especially for such a show, because you have to be very, very careful if you want to bust them and fool them. But but he's like pushing like everything he can just to have the best possible act, and that's why he's such a legend in magic. We love Paul.
If anybody gets a chance to see this lecture we're talking about, and if you've not seen it then yet, you need to. It's amazing, in talking about even the expense that he had gone to of having all these Sharpies made with with thousands of dollars worth of Sharpies, just hoping that he gets the right one, you know. And then the work that he did of trying to whittle down, saying which one will he most likely select out of a number, you know, 1 to 52. Anyhow, interesting.
It was amazing, yes. And it's great to see someone like him, and then you realize, oh God, I've been working for a month like on a new routine that I have included in my show in Paris, and I realized when I came up with that and I showed to my wife and just a couple of close friends, and they're like, you're crazy. Why are you bothering having all this just for that trick? And I'm like, because with that method, it's going to be perfect. Or at least it's going to look perfect. It's going to look what it should look like. And but you know, you can do that. And if you force a card, and if you do like, but what if I don't want to force a card? What if I want to make it like the way it should look like if it was real magic? It's like, oh, okay. And then I saw Paul, and I'm like, whatever it takes. If the method should be simple, of course, make it simple. Make your life easy. But if you, if you need to spend, as you said, like thousands of dollars on, you know, props, so you got like all possible, you know, options, possibilities and stuff, so you can just, you know, show that the only one you need for that show, well, then do it. You know, if you can do it, just do it.
Right.
Because, again, what's the most important is the effect. If the effect looks perfect, just go for it.
One of the things I want to ask you about then also is start to close, and that is the importance of what this coming year of 2025 is going to be for you.
Oh, yeah.
You want to tell the rest of the listeners about why is this is important?
It's going to be an interesting year for a couple of reasons. Believe it or not, but I started Magic in 1985. So next year is going to be 2025. So it's going to be 40 years of Magic. Mm-hmm. So even if it was really like my first contact to Magic at that time and not like, you know, being a full-time magician, of course, or anything. But still, it's going to be 40 years. And I did my very first like public performances a few months after I started Magic, just because, you know, my friends say, hey, show a little bit of Magic to your friends. Or they gave me an opportunity to be on stage. And I remember I did Professor's Nightmare and the Sidestepping Stack, just to guess three chosen cards.
You remember exactly what was in your set.
Okay. Exactly. That was my set. I started to music, because I love music, as you know, and I did Professor's Nightmare, and then I just took a card, I took take off cards and say, hey, pick a card, and I just pretended to, you know, read their mind and guess the cards. So, but that was 40 years ago. So, yes, that's going to be an important landmark for me, a milestone, I would say. And then also 2005 was, and I'm very proud of that, was the very first bicycle mock deck ever printed. And it's mine. And that's going to be 20 years. So we're planning a few things. I'm working on a few projects just, you know, to mark that anniversary personally for Magic. But also with the deck. There are a couple of things that's going to be, on the way. Now, hopefully we'll be ready for next year, because that's going to be quite an interesting year, I think, for me.
And since you're here, we're going to say hello to your biggest fan, Clark Aldridge. Hello, Clark. I know you're listening.
I'm sure he's listening. Yeah. Last year, I was not here because I was booked at the Daytona Magic Festival. Yeah. And he was there, so I'm sure he was very happy. And now I'm not there this year, but I'm here. So, yeah.
Still I know he goes out of his way just to see you, you know, and Tiffany. So. Kind of cool. Well, listen, thank you very much and good luck next year. I'm hoping to be able to assist you in some of the projects and whatever I can and helping to spread the word and let people know that it was amazing. Talk about guest of honor. Of course, you were the guest of honor at the 4F convention back in 2017 or 2007?
It was 2008 already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Time flies.
I mean,
I know.
You get younger. I'm telling you. You said you've been doing this 40 years. You only look like you're 18 now. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the French food or something, because when I spent that month over and I saw you know, this last April, and we ate all that cheese and having wines and all the rich food, I actually lost weight, you know, and I thought, I need to live here. This is just amazing. I love France.
That's how it works. The more you eat, the more weight you lose.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. The older you get in time, the younger you get, in fact, in your mind. And I think Magic also helps a lot.
My greatest memories are there. And when I had my 70th birthday, it was in Paris. And then we went to Crazy Horse and everything then, too. But it was just memorable. And getting to spend some chance to have dinner with you when we were there and all, it was always a lot of fun. So
exactly. Yeah. I always enjoy, having you and spending time. So, yeah, we'll do it again.
Looking forward to it sooner than later. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that's my buddy and yours. That's Boris Wild. Scotty out. So we've just finished the last show. I would say the last show is coming up shortly, but we just finished our last lecture. It was with Shutagawa, which was fantastic. And I'm here with a couple people who were presenters yesterday in the Insights, and that's David Parr, my friend. Hey, David.
Hi, good.
And also Terry Tyson. Hey, buddy, how are you doing, Terry?
Excellent, my friend.
And so it was great presentations you guys gave yesterday, both succinct, and you were in and out. You had points to make, and they were made and then moved on. I thought that was just excellent. And how long did it take you? Now, you're a presenter, Terry. You were talking about presentations and giving those kinds of workshops and things. So how long did it take you to put that together to make that so concise?
Are you talking about this talk?
The Insight, the one you did. And explain briefly what yours about so people who know.
So I did a version of this for Magic and Meaning, the McBride school gathering. And it took me about another, 2 days to concise it down to a 12-minute presentation. But I've been doing that kind of thing for quite some time. And the whole point of this was that magicians had the ability to present workshops and present keynotes as well as their own show at a, say, an industry conference of some sort.
Right.
And it's another income stream. But the important thing, and the point that I try to stress, is that it, let's say you're teaching about observation skills and how that could be used for accident prevention or quality control, and you use a magic trick to talk about that, you can use it to illustrate your message point, but don't use it to demonstrate your message point. Because if you demonstrate that as your message point, you're lying to your audience, and people don't like con men during workshops or during their keynotes. You can certainly work in the magic, but don't make that mistake of saying, well, if you do what I do, you can do this. Well, that's a trick. But again, you can illustrate your message point, things of that nature. And then you show, you save your magic where you actually lie to people and which you actually do a trick for your show at the end of the conference, and you can make a lot of money if you combine all those three things.
All those elements together.
Yeah.
I think that you're right. A lot of times we're looking for alternate streams of revenue in magic, in particular with the economy not being so great and the people are trying to figure out what can, else can I do, but keep in my own wheelhouse. In other words, you specialize, like with seances and different kinds of in corporate entertainment, of trying to stay in there instead of saying, okay, well, I'm going to do birthday parties, you know, whatever. You know who your market is, you know what your strengths are, and you focus on those, but try to expand and go deeper.
Sure, absolutely. And the main thing, if you're going to be doing this, is have a message, have something to say.
How do you find that?
Well, you look at your own life, look at other people who have inspired you, and share those stories. I often share a story about my mom, who had polio when she was a child, and she's worked through those challenges to get where she wanted to go. If you have a personal story, this is especially true if you're an older guy like me. You've gone through some things, and you can talk about that kind of stuff. But people, during a keynote, people love to hear stories that inspire them. During a workshop, you're teaching people a skill or something of that nature that they can use in their life or in their workplace.
Very good. That's a nice little synopsis also of what you had said. See if you could be as concise here, Dave, about about what you had talked about yesterday, too.
Ah, my talk was on changing the game of close-up magic. There was a time in the past when I did primarily walk around close-up magic at parties and events, and I enjoyed it at first, but eventually I started to find it frustrating. I couldn't do the material I wanted to do. I couldn't explore more complex themes. I couldn't tell a story. I couldn't create a mood because I was performing in a crowded room with lots of distractions and lots of noise, and where somebody could walk up and interrupt the performance at any time, and then the show was over. And so I thought, there must be a way to take control of the situation and make it into the circumstance I would like it to be. So that's what it was about.
I love that idea of saying, okay, do you have a room? We can do the European style, and we will do something in a room, and that way you force people to do that. I have performed not like that, but actually where I've had a table maybe over to the side in a conference room as opposed to like in people's homes.
I've done that as well, a corner of the ballroom that they've rented out.
Where people come to see you.
Right, right. And then I can do a show, an actual show, and not just a couple of quick tricks and then move on.
Right.
I can do a show with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
I was talking with my roommate, Charlie Randall, who was saying how you have a tempo and a style of Eugene Berger. And I know you have been greatly influenced by our friend here.
Yes, definitely.
In Chicago. And I wanted to pay you that tribute. I just think you have
well,
a lot of that.
Thank you. So. Yeah, someone complimented my voice the other night.
Yeah.
And in my head, it sounds Midwestern nasally, but other people have said, oh, no, you have a great voice.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Bernardo thinks so.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
I wish I had a voice like yours. It's true.
Well, Midwestern accent. I'm from Illinois also. And I've been in Texas long enough, I think people say, no, you don't have a Midwestern accent. I can't hear myself with the Southern accent, but apparently I have some words like that. But my point is, I think that newscasters, for the most part, come from the Midwest. Or they are trained in a Midwestern accent, which is absolutely neither Eastern, Western, Southern, or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's not like a Chicago accent, even. You know, Chicago has a accent.
Yeah. So. No, it was funny. I was performing at the Magic Castle, and I hadn't mentioned anything about where I'm from, and a woman came up after the set and said, "I can hear your Wisconsin accent."
That's funny.
Okay. I can't hear it. I don't know what she's talking about.
They can hear your Brazilian accent, I guess, can't they, with Word Arnold?
Yeah, I try. I try.
Well, anyhow, I thought you guys did a great job yesterday.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
It was fun. I enjoyed that format of, you know, limitations are often a call to creativity.
Love that. You're exactly right.
And to keep everything within a 10-minute time limit forces you to be creative about how do I convey this information with only the necessary words.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's like with the deadline, you know, that you it forces you to be creative, you know.
Right, and it's a great creative exercise. Like, I do this myself in my work a lot, where I say, well, how few words can I convey this with? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the necessary words here?
Right.
What does the audience need to know?
I don't know who was saying this, but it's like more is less and less is more, that you should be taking some out, that if you're adding something to it, you're actually making something worse, you know. It's like, how few words can you know, like I know Jerry Seinfeld had worked with jokes, like what if I eliminate this word or that word down to its very elemental nature.
Essence. Yeah, well, it's like making pasta sauce. You simmer it until the liquid is boiled away. You're not going to add water to the sauce then, you know?
Yeah, you've already got where you want.
Don't add water to the sauce. That's my advice.
That's good. Those are good magic words. Don't add water to the sauce. I love that. You got the secret sauce already. Guys, thanks very much.
Thank you.
David Barr, Terry Tyne.
Good to see you, Scott. Good
as well. And Bernardo Sedlicek, thrown in there for good measure.
Thank you.
Scotty out. One of the people who was MC, we've had different MCs for the shows and also introducing the lectures and everything, but someone who is the only female member of the Slight Club was the MC for last evening's show, and she's with me right now. She's relaxing, having a little drink of coffee, I guess.
I put Coke in a coffee mug.
Okay. And maybe something else. Tiffany Al. Hey, Tiffany.
Hey, Scotty. How are you?
Fantastic. So congratulations on what you've been doing and helping to make this club thrive and bringing them into the 20th century or 19th century, I guess, with women.
I know, right? Thank you.
And so how are you enjoying the being a transatlantic spouse? I mean, you kind of share your time between both countries.
I do. The way I put it is that my heart is in both places. So both places feel like home now, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I'm in France, I miss a lot of things about over here. But when I'm over here, I miss a lot of things about France. Mm-hmm. So it's like I belong in both, but I don't belong in both.
Right.
So it's a really interesting place to be. Honestly, I love it. And I don't think I could go back to living in one country full time anymore. I don't think I could do it.
Now, when you fly, now, for those who are listening, they're thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. Tiffany is married to Boris Wilde.
Yes.
And so, who you met at this convention in 2017?
Yep, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, right at the spot we're at right now.
All right, in front of the fireplace.
Right in front of the fireplace.
Okay. And so, going back and forth, and you didn't know any French or anything at the time.
No, well, I took French in high school, but it was a small town high school in the middle of nowhere, Virginia, so it doesn't really count. But but the French government actually paid for me to take language classes and civic classes, so I'm now, for anybody that was learning languages, I'm at an A2 level.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get up to a B1 level by the end of next year. Apparently, going from like an A to a B or a B to a C, that's the hard leap. So we'll see how that goes.
And by immersing yourself in the culture, certainly I think that's one great way to learn.
Absolutely. And I just got a job 5 months ago in Paris, which is nice. I'm in email marketing. And while the office language is English, we obviously work with a lot of French speakers, even though I think it's like 80% of the company is expats.
Yeah.
So it has helped a lot with the immersion, and it's really nice too because we, my coworkers and I, we get together about once a week, and we'll do like drinks after work. We'll do an hour where everybody who speaks French, they just help all the English speakers learn French better, and then we switch over to English. Mm-hmm. And so we help them with their English.
Oh, nice.
And it's a really nice payoff. It's great. A really nice supportive community.
And so that's something you can also do from over here in the U.S. as far as doing remote office work?
Yeah, it's great. It's a tech company, so it's also a European company, so I get an amazing amount of time off, but I also get to work abroad some, so that's really nice. And that also helps. They're very supportive of me doing magic, so I had a show not too long ago in Paris, and I actually had a lot of coworkers come, which was really cool because...
I think you told me about this, and you actually spoke French in the show.
That one was in March, so I've done a couple. This one was just all in English on Halloween, but Boris and I did a duo act back in it was March or April.
Was that Dublafon?
That one was not the Dublafon. This one was at a convention in Belgium called Magic Adore, and Boris is the godfather of it. Like, he helped start it. And so by default, I'm the fairy godmother.
Funny. Okay. And so, you're really enjoying it, it sounds like, and having a great time.
Yes,
back and forth.
I honestly love it. And it's really fun, too. Like, it's giving me, you know, living with Boris, obviously being married, it's nice having two magicians together where we can just bounce ideas off of each other. And, you know, we work together in the office every now and again. I'll turn around and I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And he's like, you know, oh, well, I'm working on this. And we can kind of help each other with that. I was crafting a lot of my effects the other day, and it was just a hot mess. And he was just looking around at it. He's like, creating magic? And I was like, absolutely I am.
Now, this year's convention has featured a lot of European magicians.
Yes.
I say European, I mean including South American, I should say international acts who have come in, and it's been phenomenal. This has been a little bit different kind of a feel, although it still has the same kind of familial feel, if you will. Everyone seems like we're family and having a great time, and a lot of great sessions, and the dealer's room is always thriving and hopping in there, and I think surely they've got to do well because the same guys come back every year. Although we got Roy Cooper's in there, who is but the acts who are coming and who have performed, and the other people who are showing up who have been previous acts, thinking, I got to come back. This is so much fun.
Right, you know, and I think, you know, having the performers that are from abroad, wherever they might be from, you know, the more that we have from there, and, you know, we like to make sure we take care of the performers and everything, especially Slight Club. You know, Scott assigns, each performer has a point person. So instead of, like, having to go to Scott for everything, they have their person that's like, hey, you know.
Gives them a ride if they need to go and pick up something at Office Depot or something.
Right. A ride or, you know, just like... you know, I'm a point person every year. I usually have one or two people. And last year I had Rob Zabrecki and Kayla Drescher. And it was like, hey, do you need dinner? Like, do you need what's a good restaurant? What's this? What's that? And even just running their dealer's table so they don't have to worry about it, printing off price lists, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think also having that reputation that we take care of the talent kind of gets around. Because once we've had somebody here and they see, like, how great the convention is, you know, it's a smaller one. And that we do care about the talent. We want them to do well. And then they're going to tell other people, like, you know, you hear about tricks. Oh, I did that. I really liked it. So I think our reputation has really helped us secure the talent that a lot of other smaller conventions probably wouldn't get.
And the talent this year has been knocked out of the park. Everybody gets knocked out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
But it really was phenomenal. For only what? Scott was telling me 166 people registrants plus the performers.
Right.
So it's really an intimate gathering here.
Right. And the other thing that Scott likes to do is make sure that they're sessioning. Like, it's not just like, you know, the talent comes in, they do their thing, they go hide in their room. Like, he makes sure that they're out here. They're sessioning with everybody. They're meeting everybody. Yeah, I mean, right here. Look around as we're sitting here. Come on.
right. And even though it's dinner time, we still got some people hanging out. You know,
exactly. Yeah. And it's a great way to network, too. Like, you know, if you're working on something, half the time, you know, the creator or somebody who knows the creator is going to be here. So you can get, like, first-hand experience.
Right. And that's one of the things, in every one of the lectures, the performers have said, I'm going to be here all weekend, I'm going to be hanging out in the lobby, if you have any question whatsoever, please ask me. Now, I hear that a lot of times at other conventions, and it's kind of a nice thing to say, and kind of a false flag, and they don't always, you can't find it. Here, you can, because it's small, here at Holiday Inn Express, basically, so it's not a huge hotel, so you don't have far to walk,
right.
And number one, number two, that they do have, like, an overflow room outside of there, so they got televisions and monitor and speakers, so you can hear outside there too.
Right.
But the point is, they don't go very far. They to see the people who are lecturing, and definitely they're there saying, "Yeah, what do you need to know? I mean, let me help you with this." You
right. know? Yeah, and that's something that Trix has always prided itself onto, is having that, just being that resource, honestly, for just sessioning. And that's always been a huge part. I mean, you know, we don't start the lectures or anything until 11 in the morning. Like, we're not like other conventions where everything starts at 9, is because we want you to stay up late in session.
That's right. We'll give you some time to sleep in the morning. You can sleep in.
Yeah, and
I love that.
And usually Trix falls, it didn't this year, but usually it falls on the weekend where the time changes. So you so you get an extra hour of sleep.
That was just last weekend.
Yeah, that was last weekend. Although France changed the weekend before that.
They did.
Yeah, we're a week off. So there was a week where I was only 5 hours ahead instead of 6. But so we actually, or Scott usually tries to schedule it there.
Yeah.
So that we still get that extra hour of sleep, you know, even though we've only slept for 2 hours in 4 days.
Yeah. And so he's already starting to take registrations for next year.
Yeah. Yes, he is. That was a new one for sure. And he's already starting to book talent too.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I know, because I know somebody who's going to be here next year.
Yeah. And I'm like the satellite booker, because I'll be at conventions over in Europe, and I'm like texting him, and I'm like, have we had so-and-so? What about so-and-so? How do you feel about this? That was actually how I got Jackie Yu the other year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jackie was great.
Oh, wasn't he fantastic? Yeah. But yeah, I was at the French convention. I saw Jackie, Texas God. I was like, if we had Jackie, he's like, no, but I'd love to get him. I was like, cool, give me 2 hours. And that was like Thursday night, and then Friday morning, Jackie comes down out the elevator. He's like, hey, I talked to Scott. I'm booked at Trix next year. I was like, great.
Well, Scott and I had seen him at 4F convention a few times as well. And so he knew what he was going to be getting into. And the fact that you had talked with him then, you know, anyhow, that was great. Well, it's been a great convention. It's been a lot of fun, and a lot of old friends, new friends. And that's what conventions are about, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And not just learning stuff, but which I have. And I'm not performing like I used to, but the shows that I plan to do will include some of the new stuff I've learned here this week.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I love Trix. I was, my family is actually here for the first time because I emceed last night. They wanted to see it. And I told them, like, it's different than other conventions in that it's a family reunion. Like, every year.
Way of putting it.
Yeah, it's like a family reunion, even if you're new. Like, it's still just, you know, we immediately welcome you. We have a lot more new people this year, too, which was wonderful.
40 people, they said.
40 new people.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So even though it sells out, you can still get on. I mean, it's not like
a list.
You just get on, you know.
Yeah, first come, first serve.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One last thing, and I'm going to let you go, and that is, can you explain what Slight Club is?
Yes, I can. Slight Club is a private magic club. We meet every Tuesday. And so the whole point of Slight Club is to make magic.
Physically or through Zoom or both?
Physically. We did do it through Zoom, you know, during the
COVID.
Yeah, during the dark ages. And but no, in person every Tuesday. I forget how many years it's been now. It's been like 20, 30, something like that. Crazy amount. But the whole point of Slight Club is to make magic better. And the first rule of Slight Club is don't suck. But so we get together, and it's basically sessioning with honest feedback. Again, we're not giving feedback to tear somebody down. We're also not giving feedback just to build somebody up when the magic sucks. And there have been times where I left Slight Club in tears. It was because my act or whatever I was doing was bad, and they told me it was bad. So they would tell me that. I go out to my car. I cry. I work on it. I come back next week and do it again. And that was how I got better.
That's the only way you can get better.
Right. Most of my signature pieces, the Georgia Wonder Act, I know they were so sick of seeing it, and they still give me so much crap about it.
Yeah.
But it is the way it is because of Slight Club. Same thing with all my coin magic and my smash and stab routines. I brought it so many times, and every time I got legitimate, you know, good feedback. Yeah. And it was, okay, do this to make it better, or they were pointing me to a resource. Like, oh, you need to read this by so-and-so, or this, or have you looked at this? And, you know, you have to audition to be in it. They take a vote on you. It's pretty intense, but I was the first woman actually in Slight Club, and that's I think that was a little bit of a change for them. But
isn't Lauren Cohen part of this club also? Or?
She's not officially part of the club,
okay.
But she's one of us.
Yeah, I kind of thought she was. And she's got a new child, so that's why she's not here.
Oh my
Congratulations
God.
If you're listening, Lauren.
I know, how cute is she? But yeah, it was so funny because last year she and Hannah Wax were here, and they were both pregnant.
That's right.
Yep, and now they're both not here because they have cute little babies.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, I'm still here.
Come on, Boris.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I love being an aunt. I am that cool aunt that shows them and does magic tricks at all of her friends' kids' birthday parties. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So for the Magic Word Podcast, this has been fantastic. Thank you. That was Tiffany Allen, Scotty Allen. Well, the party's over, and I am here, as promised, with the organizer, Scott Robinson, to do a little recap and post-mortem. So how do you think it went?
Well, I'm tired, so I think I think it was a... It's as good as a small convention can be.
That's a very good way of putting it.
It really is.
Yeah. I think actually it's better than a small convention can be, because that was the one key word that everyone's saying about small convention, but there was so much packed into it, and I love it because I can spend so much quality time with everybody, having good quality conversations with not just the performers, but with other people who were just here that made it for me, and it was just great.
Yeah, and there was... I'm kind of at a loss for words, which is unusual, but it went so well, Scott.
Well, you kind of reached out a little bit, as you said to begin with, doing something different by having international acts.
Yep. Yeah, more international acts than normal. Mm-hmm. I was trying to compete with last year's lineup.
Yeah.
And I think we did a fantastic job this year.
Yeah, we did.
The two shows were both amazing.
Yeah, like standing ovations.
World-class shows,
Quite truly, with people who are FISM winners, the winner of Spanish awards.
Yeah, the Grand Prix of Spain. Yeah,
that's right. Plus FISM, Penn and Teller winners.
Yeah, it was... It was stacked, wasn't it?
It really was.
And I felt really good. You know, a show can kind of turn on the order you put people.
Oh, I know that.
Right?
Yeah.
No matter who you have, you can have the best in the world if you put them in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And sometimes I miss. Yeah. This year, I think I did a pretty good job of hitting.
I think you hit a pretty good home run there.
I was pretty happy. I mean, the show tonight got three standing ovations, right?
Yes.
And in an intimate environment where the audience is right on top of you, it's very difficult for an audience to stand up.
It is.
Right? They're exposed. There's vulnerability there.
Well, you try to get as many people in here, and obviously the seats are so close together. I mean, knees to the back of the next chair in front of you. So it is hard to stand up. So you have to go to an extra effort.
You have to go to extra effort.
And they did, because they were so good. Rocco and Ruby and Shutagawa.
Ruby
David
was...
Parr. Yeah.
David... The texture was good.
It
the
was.
Pacing was good.
And I like that you bring in public also. I mean, there's not a lot of room, first of all, for even the magicians who are here, the registrants. Yeah. But you always make room for about another 20 or 30 outside 20, people.
25 tickets is what I sell. Yeah.
And they are lovers of magic.
They are.
I mean, the volunteers up there, and I had a lady sitting next to me who was looking at me and said, "That's crazy. I can't believe, you know, so different." It was wild.
And it changes the show.
The structure is completely different. They can feed off of that.
Yeah, they can feed off of it. They don't have to worry about, you know, with the magician audience, you kind of have to do some inside baseball lines and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
With lay people here, they get to do the stuff they do all the time.
Yes.
And it shows, right? Yeah. It definitely shows. Yeah.
So I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
Across the board, there were favorites from the past that you had done, like with the insights, which you're planning on keeping.
Yep.
Obviously, the dealers, it was the right number of dealers.
Yep. For the number of people, it was the right
number
of
that we had. Yep. And it was the right kind with Roy Cooper's here with coins and Chris with cards, of course, and with
Don with his books.
That's right. And Pat's
Mats. And Pat's Mats.
You know, it was a close-up convention, and you had close-up dealers, you know, and it was perfect.
Yeah, it that worked out really well this time. That's an area that I never know, right? And those guys did a great job.
Yeah.
They did.
And your wife, Janet, you know, was a great help.
How awesome is she?
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
And these guys being behind you got a half dozen or more. You got a dozen guys back over here.
Yeah, Slight Club is the key to this.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what makes
Slight
it work.
Club comes in. They all have specialties, like Dave and Dwayne, who does sound. Dave has a degree in sound design. Dwayne was on the road with a rock band for years doing the sound and things like that. Then we have Jake.
The sight sound, the AV and everything here is better than I've seen at major conventions like the IBM, SAM, that have big stage shows, and there are always problems. COM, I don't care. This was like spot on. These guys know what they're doing.
They
it's
do
amazing.
Know what they're doing. Yeah. Every single one of them. Jake did a great job. All the people doing introductions and taking care. That's one thing that people don't notice, but everyone at Slight Club is assigned to a different performer, and they make sure they have everything they need and make it go super smooth.
I just talked with Tiffany and asked a little bit about Slight Club, and she said that very thing about how that people are assigned to a performer and to make sure you get to the airport, and if you need something from Staples or whatever,
we take care of it.
It was help you sell stuff. It was great. It was great.
So what'd you like?
Good job.
Been to like five now, four or five.
That's right. This is probably about my fourth or fifth one. And I can't say that they're getting progressively better. I just have to say they're all great.
Well,
I mean,
you.
I really haven't seen anyone that has disappointed me, which is why that I like to come back to this and why I recommend this. I ran into a gentleman today from St. Louis who said, I'm here this year because I heard your podcast last year, and I thought this is one I don't want to miss.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep.
So that's one I know for sure. And I hear that from time to time at some other conventions. But this is one I really enjoy and recommend. Certainly, the talent was good. Funny enough, you know that as far as the MVP person, the most valuable one, person who had contributed the most, I had voted for John.
John Graham, for everyone listening,
for John Graham, and he was sitting next to me, and he won. It's like, holy cow! I guess I wasn't the only one who voted for you.
Yeah, no, he deserved it.
Sure did.
His lecture was fantastic. His performance was fantastic. He gave everyone here a show.
Yes,
like a really top notch.
It was
clever methods and fantastic presentation.
Had magicians shaking their heads. Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. He can't
with
do
the torn and restored paper.
And then he explained it.
Yeah,
in the lecture.
And then he gave it to everyone to use. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
so and there was a lot of charity here. There was a lot of giving.
You know, that's a very good point. We shouldn't overlook that.
We should not. I know
both Peepo and
Ruby both donated what they made to different.
Yeah.
Charities.
Like for Venezuela right now is going through the flooding in Spain.
Yeah.
And so money is going there and elsewhere where there's needed.
Exactly. Yep. So we don't want to forget those folks because they went an extra step.
Yeah.
Because honestly, you know, you can't do a convention without friends working for a lot less than they deserve.
I understand that,
you know? And that's the way they kind of make up for it, is selling things. But those two came a long way and really had a servant's heart, right? And was giving.
So. One of the things I thought was great seeing Michael Kaminskas here, too.
Yeah.
Since he has recently gone, had
so
a GoFundMe because
of
his heart condition and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's still having problems. He said, I really don't want to miss this. This is so great, and people mean so much to me.
Yeah, I was glad
to see
him.
You know, who helped me, too.
I'm so glad he made it. Yeah. Even for a short time.
That's
good
to
see him.
Well, it's good seeing you. Congratulations.
Great seeing you. And, I'm so glad you're part of our family.
Thank you for letting me be part of the family.
And I'll see you down the road at
See Effectors.
Magi Fest.
Sure.
I'll be at Magi Fest probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy. All right. That's around the corner.
It is around the corner.
Merry Christmas, as I would say. That's my new job for the next month.
Have fun.
Thanks a lot. So for the Magic Word Podcast, here we are leaving Charlotte. And going to be leaving Trix 2024, which has been fantastic. And if you guys who haven't made this, I hope that you're a little bit jealous and want to find out who he's going to be booking next year. You don't want to miss it. So come back next year to Charlotte. The weather's always nice, and the restaurants around here are convenient to walk to and everything as well. Great location, a lot of fun, and you'll enjoy it. So come next year. You can register at, where do we go, Trix?
Trix, T-R-I-C-S, so no K. TrixConvention.com.
There you go. Go check it out. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Scott Robinson. Scotty out.